Hello, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Listen as travel experts Chris Newton and Jerry Fuller give advice on world destinations and discuss important travel topics that are valuable to any world traveler. Go to www.traveladviceshow.com where you can listen to this show and all previous shows, or even ask your travel questions. Now here are your hosts, Chris and Jerry.
Hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Chris Newton, one of the co-hosts, and we have a great show today. We're going to be talking about Poland, one of the countries that is an excellent destination, and we have a great guest today, Joanna Milik from Mir Corporation. She's a director of independent travel, and Mir Corporation is a great company that started in 1996, and they specialize in traveling from Siberia to the Silk Road and St. Petersburg and beyond. And I'd like to welcome Joanna. How you doing, Joanna?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, doing very well, thank you. And I guess you know Poland pretty well.
Yes. First of all, thank you for inviting me.
Oh,
I'm really excited to be with you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, I do know Poland pretty well because that's my native country. I moved here 6 years ago in 2001. And prior to moving, I had been working as a guide since I was 19. At the time, I was telling all my American clients that I was 21, and I felt like it was a serious age. So I've been doing it basically for over, 15 years right now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, and since I moved to United States, I've been with Mir Corporation, and indeed we are specializing in travels to the former Eastern Bloc countries, including Central Europe, including Poland. So I'm really enjoying promoting my country.
Great. Enjoy. What's the website for Mir Corporation? So our listeners, if they want to get more information.
Sure. It's mircorp.com. MIRCORP.com. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And it's a great website. We are listing all of our scheduled tours. We have three different departments here with regularly scheduled group tours from destinations such as Siberia, the Silk Route, Western Russia, Great Wall of China. So beautiful trips. We also have custom groups, and we also have programs for independent travelers who wish to travel solo or in small groups. So it's a wonderful, very useful website as an idea generator for everyone.
Poland is one of my favorite countries. I visited Poland a few years ago, and I just fell in love with it. I really didn't know what to expect, and I just love the people. And I went to the Krakow area there in southern Poland. And would you like to explain to our listeners kind of where Poland is in relation in Europe there and just like some of the main kind of areas?
Sure, I'll be very happy to do it. As a matter of fact, all around Europe, there's a famous saying about Poland. We're known for three W's, for Wojtyla, which was the last name of John Paul II, for Valenza, which starts also with W, with Lech Valenza, the solidarity leader, and finally Vodka, which we spell with W. And pretty much, this is how it characterized Poland, which, in fact, it is a beautiful destination. It is located in the very heart of Europe. In the old good times, when I came to United States, people would say, oh, Poland, yeah, it's somewhere between Germany and Russia, right?
Oh, really?
And it's not entirely true. Poland is located between Germany and the present Ukraine and Belarus. And in the south, we're sharing the borders with Czech Republic and Slovakia. And then in the north, we're enjoying the beautiful coast of the Baltic Sea. And I find Poland a very interesting gateway for Central Europe. Whichever direction you look, it takes literally a few hours to get to the major cities. For example, you can go from Warsaw to Berlin using a fast train. I think it's like 5 hours right now, maybe 6 hours. From Krakow, it takes one short overnight train ride to get to Vienna or Prague or Budapest. From Warsaw, you can also take a train to Belarus, Minsk, to Kiev in Ukraine, or an overnight train to St. Petersburg. So it makes it really easy to travel all around that part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great kind of central location there that you can kind of explore, you know, a lot of very unique countries too, and different nationalities all really close. You know.
That's correct. I know a lot of people are connecting travels to Poland with so-called Central Europe. So they start in Warsaw, they go to Krakow, and they continue to Prague and Czech Republic and Hungary and Vienna, and that's the most popular routing. Mm-hmm. I also strongly recommend to our listeners, especially to the ones who already been to these destinations, to try exploring Poland and east of Poland. Like I said, it takes an overnight train to get to Minsk, to Ukraine, which is a fascinating destination. They went through the Orange Revolution 2 years ago, and it's very gratifying. It can be a very gratifying trip.
If you had to go, like say, if one of our listeners is the first time to go to Poland, it's pretty much has the four seasons, but do you recommend a good time to visit Poland?
Poland is certainly an interesting country to visit at any time during the year. However, we do enjoy really cold winters. And also around Christmas time, as you know, we're a Catholic country. So around Christmas time, life in Poland basically stops. So, for example, I know that there are people who like to travel to other Catholic countries, let's say Austria, to visit Christmas bazaars, but in Poland this is not the case. So I really strongly encourage everyone who is thinking about going to Poland to travel there anytime between May and basically mid or even the end of October. My favorite time of the year to be in Poland is May, as well as September and October. In May, you know, when I was traveling, when I was still in Poland working as a tour guide, I remember many times when we were driving from Warsaw to Krakow, overland, and it was May, and so many times we would see unexpectedly a storm, a thunderstorm come over, and the light, the sky would turn into this dark, graphite, dark color, and you would hear the thunders, and within 15 minutes it will be all over, and the beautiful rainbow will come out, and, you know, light rain, and everything was so green, and it was just really beautiful with all the blossom, and Poland at that time is very green. Mm-hmm. And then also September and truly October is a beautiful time to go. I would actually recommend that time especially for people who want to take beautiful photos. We do have a beautiful Indian summer that we refer to as the golden fall, Złota Jesień. It doesn't matter where you are, which part of Poland, you will absolutely enjoy it and experience it. It seems like the whole country is on fire at the time with the red and yellows and orange colors. It's really beautiful. Mm. And what makes September and October even more special is this is also when officially the cultural season starts. Most of theaters are closed in Poland in June, July, and August. And then in September, this is the time when the students are coming back to the cities. So there's a lot of different festivals, the Beethoven Festival, the Mozart Festival. There are lots of free public concerts in churches all around Poland. For people who are into music and arts, I really recommend traveling in the fall.
When you mentioned the Baltic Sea, I never realized that Poland has some beautiful beaches too up in the Baltic Sea area. Like Gdansk, is that one of the major cities up in the Baltic?
That's right. Gdansk is our northern port. As a matter of fact, it has a very turbulent story. it was always fought over between the Poles and the Germans because of the access to the Baltic Sea. So Gdansk does have several public beaches, but it's mainly the nearby city of Sopot, S-O-P-O-T, that is famous for its beautiful golden sand beaches, outdoor cafes, and you know, many spas, many bed and breakfasts and elegant hotels. And this is a popular destination between us Poles to go for a week or 2 weeks vacation and just to enjoy the seaside. Gdansk is also definitely is one of my favorite cities to visit in Poland, but it's more for historical reasons.
What kind of history things are in Gdansk?
Well, first of all, you know, the city has been, I believe it was 2000 when the city celebrated a millennium, 1,000 years.
Really?
And,
And
for that celebration, the entire old town was beautifully renovated. And what makes it really, really special, besides the old town, which has many beautiful and famous sights to see, in like 14th century crane, which was used to unload the goods that were coming into Gdansk. There is a beautiful St. Mary Street, which is one of my, if not, probably I would say, dare to say it's my most favorite street in Poland. It's a tiny little street full of workshops with amber, where you can see the artists actually work with amber and silver and making these the beautiful amber jewelry that is extremely popular in the region.
Amber jewelry is really cool.
Amber jewelry. Actually, Poland is the best place to buy amber jewelry. Poland and Lithuania are the two countries that specialize in amber jewelry. And Gdansk, since it's, you know, it is the source. This is where all the workshops are. Is the best place to buy amber, and we're talking about, you know, anything from earrings to rings, you know, utensils. It's absolutely beautiful.
Wonderful! Wow, that sounds great to see that, and you can see them actually on St. Mary's Street. You can actually see them. Making the jewelry too, like through the windows,
absolutely.
Or you can go in the shops and.
Absolutely, they are exposing all of their jewelry, all their arts, and you can see the artists work with amber. By the way, of course, in Gdansk you will not find the fake amber, but I discourage all of tourists to buy amber from little stalls on the streets in any of Polish cities. You know, if an amber will cost you $10 for a necklace.
Yeah,
it's not real. And the best way to check if an amber is real, you actually take the stone and wipe it against your clothing, against your sleeve for about 15 seconds, and then you stick it to your hair or piece of paper, and if it doesn't stick together, that means it's a fake amber. It's a very useful advice for all the people who want to buy amber in Poland, yes.
That's real good advice.
Yeah, you want to invest your money in the right thing.
Yeah, you got to be careful. And you know, when you're traveling around Poland, I mean, you know, if people that speak English or many, you know, it's not too bad, really, because when I was in Poland, I mean, the younger generation, a lot of them speak, a lot of people learn English, and you know, it's not too bad, you think, I mean, getting around. I felt it wasn't too bad. I don't know Polish, you know, real well, so that's nice, too. You don't have to worry too much about the language barriers much.
You're absolutely right. You know, when I was still in Poland, basically till 1989, the year when we became a democratic country, all of us have been taught Russian as a second language. So if you're on the street in any Polish city in Krakow or Warsaw, Gdansk, and you approach a person who is in their 40s or 50s or older and ask them a question in English, they will not be able to answer it. But then if you approach any teenager or anyone who is, you know, 11, 12, they all speak fluent English. English is second language right now. The children are taught English starting with basically the beginning of school, which is, you six, 7 years. And of course, it's also, it's international language, and basically all the signs in major cities are in Polish or in English. If you go to major museums, you will have English translation as well. The menus are in English. So it's actually, sometimes the translation is really funny, but you can figure it out. So,
that's great. Yeah, I like seeing that. That's fun.
So that's that makes it really easy. And the second thing that makes Poland so approachable and easy to travel around is the fact that we, for years, we've been relying on train transportation. Our roads are not very developed. They're certainly not comparable to what you have in the United States. You know, you're lucky if it's a good road, one lane each direction. And so I do recommend to everyone to use trains as much as possible. As a matter of fact, if you want to concentrate on major cities, the major attractions of Poland, you can totally rely on trains. So, for example, if someone flies to Gdansk, which is in the north, and starts there, he can, you know, you can take a train from Gdansk to Warsaw. It's about 5.5 hours.
Okay.
And if you drive the same, you know, the drive would take you would take you about easily 8 hours.
Really?
So yes, so it's a big, not to mention the cost. You know, gas is more expensive, and the road is not all that great. So. And then definitely for everyone who is thinking of going to the two most popular destinations, which is Warsaw and Krakow, I also do recommend taking a train between the two cities. The trains leave every hour, and it takes two hours, 45 minutes, versus, again, 6.5 hours driving.
That's great advice.
Yes, and we do have first class, which is very comfortable. These are separate compartments. As you know, you've been on the train, so there are six people in first class. There's a dining car, and it's a nice journey. I always enjoyed it, and also the drive between Warsaw and Krakow is really beautiful.
On the train too, it's a great chance to, a lot of people are very welcoming, and I got to meet a lot of people on the train too, and especially, you know, if they know that you're traveling around Poland. I met a lot of local people that would really give you a lot of insight on where to go and some things to do, and even help you out with accommodation. You know what I mean?
You know, it really is true. I mean, we like to think about ourselves that we're known for hospitality. What makes it also really interesting, and make, you know, a lot of, I deal with a lot of travelers, and sometimes I am asked about anti-American sentiment. You know, what will people think about me if I travel to Russia? And, you know, and I have to tell you, Poland, that I was just reading recently in one of the European magazines that Poland and Romania are the most pro-American countries in Europe.
Okay.
So, you know, besides the fact that you're a foreigner, also if you're an American, it's like it's a great way of starting the conversation. Still,
we could talk about like Krakow. I mean, that's one of my, that's where I've been, and that's an amazing. So that's all the way down in the south, right, of Poland, and kind of close to the Czech Republic border.
Correct. Well, Krakow is a favorite of everyone.
Yeah, it's one of the most popular. Yeah.
Truly, and what it makes it so special, not only for travelers who are visiting Poland, but also to us Poles, is the fact that this is one of the very few cities that has not been destroyed during World War II. Yes, a lot of items from the museums, from churches, from different institutions were stolen by the Germans, by the Nazis. They were basically leaving Poland in 1945, or actually 1944. A lot of these items were returned to Poland. But what makes Krakow so special is that what you see there, the streets that you stroll along, this is basically the same layout, the same building, the same atmosphere that you had 500, 600, 700 years ago. So it's like, you know, you can, I always tell people that in Krakow, one of the greatest things that you can do is not run from one museum to another or one church to another, but just sit in this beautiful square of the old town and sip your fancy latte and just watch people by. And, you know, we have, there's so many legends about Krakow, you know, as you were sitting on the square, there are lots of pigeons everywhere, and we believe that these are Polish knights that have been turned into pigeons in 15th century.
Oh, really?
And
then
and then you hear the bugle call.
The bugle call. That was great,
That's right. The bugle call is it's played every hour,
24/7. That's great. I love that. That was really neat to hear that. Yeah. Do you want to maybe explain real briefly about the legend of that, the bugle call?
Sure.
Well, right in the court, right in the city center there in the big court.
Yes. Well, the bugle call... The bugle call is played from one of the towers of St. Mary's Church, which is located right on the square of the old town. And in my personal opinion, this is one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful, church in Poland. And the bugle call, we call it Hey Now, is played hourly. And the story is that, you know, this bugle call used to be played only in the morning and in the evening as a signal for the guards to open the gates to the coming merchants. Or if there was an invasion, if there was a foreign army coming, they would play the bugle call, and that was a signal to the guards to close the gates immediately. But the story tells us that basically in 14th century Poland was flooded by hordes of Mongols coming from the east, and accordingly to the legend, the player started playing the bugle call, but unfortunately the guards didn't hear it soon enough. The Mongols entered the old town or Krakow at the time, and one of the darts hit the player, and we stopped playing. Since then, we stopped playing the Hey Now, the bugle call, at this very note. So when you listen to the melody, it stops suddenly.
Oh,
and,
really?
That is the story behind it.
Oh, wonderful. I think that's a great story, and it's really great that, you know, it continues, and I think it's a great it's a great experience to hear it. And isn't the court or the courtyard? It's one of the largest in Europe, isn't it? I mean, compared to Florence or.
Yes, indeed. I mean, we like to claim that it is the largest. It's the largest square, even larger than St. Mark's in Venice.
Yeah.
What makes it, you know, what some people dispute it, but I think it's the reason why some dispute it is because the square is in the middle of it. We have this beautiful Renaissance building dating back to, I believe, it's 14th century, and we call it the Cloth Hall, Sukiennica. And it used to be essentially the first shopping mall in Krakow, where they used to sell, inside of the mall, they used to sell expensive fabrics for the nobility. And this is actually one of my favorite places in Poland to go for quality shopping. I'm not really a fan of buying lots of tchotchkes and bringing nothing, you know, but when you go to this building, inside, we still have about 50 different stalls where you can buy amber jewelry for those of our listeners who do not get as far north as Gdansk. They can buy beautiful jewelry in Cloth Hall in Krakow. As a matter of fact, all of my amber jewelry, all of my rings come from there.
Oh, okay.
So we Poles go shopping there too. It's not a tourist trap by no means. You can buy beautiful Polish hand-embroidered tablecloths, clothing from Krakow and the southern areas. You know, all the good quality souvenirs that you would want to bring someone from Poland. You know, name a few that would be beautiful Christmas decorations. Crystal. Poland and Bohemia are known for its crystal. So really, it's a great place to save the money for some shopping. And works out very well, too, because most people go to Warsaw and Krakow, so you can do your shopping and then, you know, fly out at the end and go home with lots of good stuff there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That sounds great. And Joanna, did you recommend that any areas that we haven't covered on the show that would be really unique or very interesting for a lot of people that maybe have been to Poland or that are first time going to Poland? Is there any other areas that would be...
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think for the first-time goers, I would really recommend combining Krakow with Warsaw.
Okay.
Warsaw is a natural gateway city. We have in Warsaw, that's where I'm from, we have a great airport that has many different international airlines fly into. And what I always tell my clients or my friends about Poland, I mean about Warsaw, is that, yes, it was destroyed basically entirely during World War II. Yes, parts of it were reconstructed in the famous social realistic style of the 50s. Those of our listeners who've been to Moscow, they know what I'm talking about. But it's a very inspirational city. The fact that it still exists and that the fact that it still has about 2 million people living there is truly a miracle. The city suffered so much during World War II. We had two uprisings. We had the uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto, which was right in the heart of the city. And it was entirely the ghetto area after the uprising. And Hitler gave an order to General Straub to actually level the city so not a single stone would be left. And that happened to ghetto area. So the center was partially destroyed during the ghetto uprising. Then in 1944, we had another uprising in the city against the Nazis. So the city was entirely destroyed. And imagine that after the war, basically by 1956, so essentially, you know, a decade, the city is being reconstructed. Not only that we reconstructed the living part, I mean, the neighborhoods where people live, entirely, but we did a miraculous job with restoring or rebuilding from scratch the Old Town area. Our Old Town area is right now, as it was before the war, the colors, the streets, the shape of the buildings, all the decorations. We used several paintings of Bellotto Canaletto, an Italian painter who lived in Warsaw for several years, to reconstruct the Old Town, and in appreciation, UNESCO put it on the World Heritage List. So, you know, it's a great introduction to the history of the region, and Poland especially. So I do recommend for first-time visitors to visit Warsaw and then go south and enjoy beautiful Krakow. Maybe get, if time permits, get outside of Krakow. There is a famous Polish monastery in Częstochowa, the Bright Mountain, Jasna Góra, which is a pilgrimage site, but it has it's a very moving experience. It has a fantastic armory with jewelry and all the goods that people donated to the monastery for essentially 700 years. So we consider it our religious capital of Poland. And, of course, then you have the mountains. Like you said, Krakow is not far from Czech Republic, especially from Slovakia. It's actually closer to Slovakia. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It takes about an hour and a half to drive to Zakopane. Zakopane is famous for its own culture. You know, the mountain people there, they have their own clothing, their own food, their own dialect. It's a beautiful place to get away from all the noise of Krakow and Warsaw. And the Tatras are spectacular. They're the only mountains in Central Europe that look like the Alps. We call them Alpine style mountains. They're, of course, smaller. So that also makes them more approachable for people all ages. Mm-hmm. And you ask me, you also ask me about, you know, something unique for people who've been to Poland.
Yeah.
You know, not too many people know that in east of Poland, we actually have a national park called Białowieża, where the only bison outside of the United States can be found, the European bison. The park is shared by Poland and Belarus. The border actually goes through the park. And I know that it's a very special experience for many people. So something different.
Yeah. Can you take a train there from Krakow or Warsaw to go to the national park there?
Frankly speaking, Warsaw and Krakow are not very well connected with east of Poland.
Oh, okay.
East of Poland was always considered somewhat, it was never developing as fast as the western part or the southern or any other part of Poland for that matter.
Oh, okay.
So not only that, the disadvantage is, yes, you cannot take a train. You would have to rely on renting a car or a driver taking you there.
Oh.
The advantage of it, however, is that if anyone if the family came from Poland back two generations back, and they want to go and explore and kind of see the rural Poland, how it looked 100 years ago, the east of Poland, including this Białowieża National Park, is pretty much as it was 100 years ago. Wooden huts. You know, basically 2-hour drive east of Warsaw takes you back in history.
Yeah, 2 hours. Oh, that's not that bad. Yeah.
No, it's absolutely, and the road is very good. You have to take the road towards Białystok, basically towards Belarusian border.
Joanna, well, this is great. I really appreciate it for being on the show. And,
my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. And would you like to say your website again?
Sure. Our website is mircorp.com. And like I said, there's a lot of very useful information, not only for people who are interested in joining groups, but also in individuals who want to travel solo or want to learn a little bit more about each destination. And I always refer everyone to it because it really is a great idea generator. And like we discussed at the beginning of the show, we, as a tour operator, we specialize in one part of the world. We don't do everything and nothing. We basically do the Eastern Bloc, former Eastern Bloc countries. So Russia, its former satellites, and former Soviet Union republics.
Yeah, Poland is a great place to go, I think, and there's so much unique culture, and it's just a great destination. So
it is a beautiful and a great country, and and I do recommend for everyone to visit it.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to listen to other great travel advice shows with Chris and Jerry at www.traveladviceshow.com.